Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Shukri Writes, host of the Shukri Writes Show, filling in today from 3 to 5 on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Stay tuned. Getting the system all fired up, and we got 2 hours of complete smack dab sports talk, including a miracle in the Berg last night that is beginning to become impossible to explain. More on that in just a little bit, but stay tuned for right now. The tunes you're listening to, Josie by Steely Dan. Good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Shukri Writes Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Wednesday afternoon. As I'm filling in today for the Joyce Mobile, she is out today, but she shall be back hopefully next week during the same time. But today I'm here to bring you some special sports talk on a day in which that we're still trying to process what exactly did we witness last night. Even as of right now, none of this makes any sort of sense to me whatsoever. But I'm here to talk about it. I'm here to process what we saw and what we witnessed in the Bruins-Penguins game last night, as I am now ready to get rolling, and I hope you are too. The phone lines are open. You can call into the program, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. So, how many of you are still asking the question, what happened in Pittsburgh last night? That's really the big question that I'm going to ask you. What happened in Pittsburgh last night? We obviously know that the Bruins came back to win the game 6-5 in overtime on a Hampus Lindholm game-winning goal after being down 5-2 and whatnot. But that doesn't really begin to explain what we all witnessed last night, because going into the second period, although the Bruins got up to a pretty lackluster start, allowing Sidney Crosby to score the first goal 30 seconds into the game, it was as if that Halloween came a little later, about 24 hours late for the Boston Bruins, in which there was no treat. It was rather a bag of tricks. And the Pittsburgh Penguins came by and decided that they're going to steal some candy from the Bruins. The reality is, when they fell behind 5-2, I would absolutely admit that I myself was so frustrated, so angry, that I decided that I was going to start a Bruins Twitter space last night. I wasn't going to initially. My initial plans was I was going to watch the game like a normal human being, like the rest of everybody else, I think, and basically complain, moan, and groan until the cows came home. And then, little by little, the Bruins inched their way back into this game, but not before Jeremy Swayman, as a result of accidental friendly fire on ice in which Patrice Bergeron slid into the left leg of Jeremy Swayman, he had to be taken out of the game. And that was unfortunate, because at first, a lot of us, we can admit, were probably thinking and assuming the worst. That this guy was going to be out for probably months at a time, have an extended knee, maybe a torn ACL. The worst scenarios were coming to mind. I admit it, mine too. I was thinking, man, this guy, the way that knee bent backwards. I said it on Twitter last night, eek. Now, we obviously know that it isn't as bad, but it's still bad enough where he may not play tomorrow night against the New York Rangers in a game that is down in New York exclusively on ESPN+. Now, when the Bruins began their comeback, one thing that happened during that comeback that really occurred to me, and I want to talk about this ad nauseum here, is that when you think about where this team's psyche was, you're down 5-2. In the past, let's be honest, we probably think that this team would have mailed it in, count their losses, and just move on. And who would have blamed them? I thought that it wasn't going to be the Bruins' night, but I realized that the Boston Bruins were basically playing with house money. They had nothing to lose. They basically said, you know, this would be one hell of a story if they came back. It's really unbelievable. The more that you just think about what the Bruins had to do to get back into this game, the Brad Marchand goal, which was in the later stage of the second period, and then Pavel Zacha, who, let's be honest with ourselves, we didn't really expect a whole lot when he got traded to the Bruins from the New Jersey Devils for Eric Haller. But my God, has he become such an important part of the top 6 forward group for the Boston Bruins? But did we really anticipate him being this good for this team this quickly? No, not really. He scored it to make it 5-4. It was at 11:59 of the third period. And then we all remember Taylor Hall, who scored the equalizer, the tying goal with a minute 17 left in regulation. It's just so shocking that today in Boston, a lot of the local sports talk shows had to start with the Bruins' comeback. And with this team being at 9-1-0, there is very little to no reason why there isn't buzz surrounding this Boston Bruins team. Let's be honest with ourselves, and I'll even hold myself to the fire here, ladies and gentlemen. If we went back to September, we're now in November, by the way. It's now November 2nd. If we go back to 2 months ago, and we were talking about the Bruins in terms of early season prognostications, how many of you would have said or believed that the Bruins would be 9-1 off to their best start in franchise history? How many of you would have believed it? Not many. I myself would have been like, you're high. You need to stop smoking the special stuff. There's no way. But here we are. We're talking about this team off to the best start in the 97-98 season history of the Boston Bruins. A start in which that Linus Ullmark has not had a start to a season since Tim Thomas did in 2010-2011. And we Bruin fans know exactly how that season ended. That's how good Linus Ullmark has been. And what makes this even more surprising when you begin to think about last night? You talk about the heart of this team. You talk about just how good this team was in terms of its resolve in battling back in what has been an early start to the season. And it's been early. Let's be honest, it's been very early. But through 10 games, in a city in which that it thrives off negativity, can we for one moment just stop for just a second and just admit that this team and what this team is doing is shocking the hockey world? Because I dare for any damn body in the Boston sports media to tell me that you believe that this team will be on top of the NHL standings come November 2nd with all of the injuries that they've had to battle through. I dare you. I will call you on your absolute horse crap. You're full of it. No one expected this. Nobody expected that the Bruins would be in the position that they're in, let alone the balance scoring that they've gotten throughout this season so far. We talk about Taylor Hall. We talk about Pavel Zacha. Brad Marchand is going to do Brad Marchand things. Since he's come back, Brad Marchand has done exactly what Brad Marchand has done best. Score. And contribute in other areas as well. But then, also, can we just pause for just one quick moment and admit that there is something brewing with this Boston Bruins? And I'm not trying to use a pun here. I'm not. But there is definitely something brewing with this Bruins team that is becoming harder and harder to explain. I'm not willing to go as far as to say this team is going to win the Stanley Cup. Let's pump the brakes for just a moment. But it's undeniable what's happening with this team. And I'm at a place right now in which that I do think the Bruins got something special. And I don't think it's just a lightning in the bottle either. So if you want to talk Bruins with me, your thoughts on last night's game, call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. Coming up next, we got a lot to get into in terms of the game last night. But let's talk about Hampus Lindholm, because if you told me that Hampus Lindholm would be as vital to this team as he has been to begin the season, I would have had a lot of land to sell you. I want to get into Hampus Lindholm, his impact, not just in last night's game, but in terms of the season overall. That and much more, plus your phone calls coming up next here on the Sugar Red Show. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tus Free Farm Radio.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers this simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
Drops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us. We can make it if we try, just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
We look for love, no time for tears. Wasted water's all that is, and it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. We can make it just the two of us.
I hear the crystal raindrops fall on the window down the hall, and it becomes the morning dew. And darling, when the morning comes and I see the morning sun, I wanna be the one with you. Just the two of us.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford Tusk Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. We are now one segment into the program, as if you're tuning into the program, you're expecting to hear the voicemobile. Joyce the Voice, she is out today. I'm filling in for her for the next hour and a half until around just about 5 o'clock. That's when I am signing off the airwaves for the day and afternoon, but it's good to be back in studio to talk sports with you, and a bunch of other topics are probably on my mind as well that I will get into as we move through the afternoon. So the number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I am still on an emotional high from last night's Bruins comeback win from 5-2 down to win 6-5, in which that they played like horse crap in the second period, and then something clicked during that timeout, and they decided that enough is enough, and we're going to just turn on the Jets. And the Bruins did. But one of the big catalysts of last night's win was Hampus Lindholm, and I think that it's really imperative that I spend this segment just talking about the importance of Lindholm to the Bruins and the kind of start that he's been off to start the 2022-2023 NHL season. Now, I mentioned this last night on the Twitter space. For those of you that may have missed it, it's on my Twitter at Shukri Wright, at S-H-U-K-R-I-W-R-I-G-H-T-S. I mentioned on the Twitter space last night that Hampus Lindholm has the second best plus-minus rating of any defenseman in the NHL this season at +9. That was entering last night's game. Now, with that being said, last night, we know that Lindholm, he had himself quite a game. I mean, he had 4 points last night? Like a goal, and then as well as like the 3 assists as well, which really is just incredible when you begin to think about what Lindholm has been able to do so far. Overall, Lindholm, he has got 11 points. He's got 3 goals and 8 assists in the first 10 games, and that's the most by a Bruins defenseman since, guess who? Ray Bourque, the Hall of Famer, in 1995-96, we had 12 points in the team's first 10 games. He had 4 goals and 8 assists for the total of 12 points. We all knew that when Lindholm was acquired, that Lindholm was an offensive defenseman. So we're not surprised by the offensive output, But I do believe that defensemen like Hampus Lindholm are surely benefiting from playing in a system in which that Jim Montgomery is not only encouraging the Demon to jump into the offense, but also be able to, you know, create offense as well. And that's what Lindholm has been able to do. I mean, you look at the 8 assists, especially 3 of them last night in the comeback win against the Pittsburgh Penguins, in which that I love the fact that he has shown the ability over and over again to create offense, not just only score when he picks his spots, but also his ability to generate offense as well. Lindholm, for a variety of different reasons, according to head coach Jim Montgomery, said that he is arguably the most underrated defenseman in the NHL. And that's saying a lot, because there's a lot of really damn good defensemen right now across the league, from Cale Makar to Charlie McAvoy to Adam Fox to Victor Hedman. But Hampus Lindholm may be the most underrated. And I thought that was like, wow, that's really saying something. But we all known for a while that Hampus Lindholm has been one of the better offensive defensemen in the league. That's part of the reason why that the Bruins went out and traded for him last trade deadline, last season. So if you have any thoughts you want to share in regards to Hampus Lindholm's start to the 2022-23 season, call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. If anything, I just wonder, is Hampus Lindholm still the same player if Bruce Cassidy wasn't fired over the summer and what was a pretty surprising move at the time? Excuse me. Is Hampus Lindholm still the same player? Is he still producing at the same offensive clip that he's been producing so far? My answer to that is no. Because Bruce Cassidy, in his system, it's defense first. Defense first, jump into the play, and, you know, like create offensive opportunities and, you know, control the power play. Montgomery, you see guys are jumping at will, showing the ability to score at times. I mean, this is up and down the line. It's not even just a one-line wrecking crew. You got the first line. You got the second line. You really have to like what you've seen from the third line with Charlie Coyle and, yes, Nick Foligno. But even the defensemen, from what I've seen so far, Grizzlick, Lindholm, I really like what I've seen. Derek Forbort, before he got injured last night. Unfortunately, he was one of 2 Bruin players that got injured last night. Forbort, he got injured. He never came back. And as well as Jeremy Swayman. But what you're seeing is up and down the lineup, forwards, defensemen, contributing offensively. And it's allowing the guys who are not only open but have the best scoring opportunity to be able to put the puck in the back of the net, regardless of whoever it is. Lindholm, on the other hand, you know that he's your number 2 defenseman. Your number 1 defenseman, he's still out right now in Charlie McAvoy. It's not a question of can he produce, can he defend. It's now becoming a matter of can he put his game together. And I think that he's really beginning to do that. I think that's super huge, because when McAvoy comes back, we all know what McAvoy is capable of. Norris Trophy candidate, finalist, a guy who could also score as well, you know, contribute offensively. But he is becoming one of the better shutdown defensemen in the league. It's going to be absolutely incredible to see what a healthy top pairing in Hampus Lindholm and Charlie McAvoy could do when they're both on the ice at the same time. It's going to be amazing to see. I can't wait to see how it all unfolds. Whether if it's McAvoy controlling the power play, whether if it's McAvoy and Lindholm both averaging 30 minutes per game over the course of the entire season. Because we all know that Lindholm and his stamina is absolutely amazing. But for Charlie McAvoy, it's incredible to watch, considering that this is a guy that not only has size, but also has shown the ability that even when he comes off the ice, he's not tired. But Lindholm, on the other hand, I want to go back to Lindholm now. It's becoming almost hard to believe just how truly good Hampus Lindholm is. Because let's be honest, not a lot of Bruin fans stayed up late for years to watch Hampus Lindholm when he was an Anaheim Duck. Not many of you did. But you knew of him based on reputation and even in the games that the Ducks and the Bruins would play against each other, whether it was in Boston or in Anaheim. But it's becoming amazing to watch on a game-to-game basis just how good Lindholm is, just both in terms of offensively. Defensively, you can say that last night he had arguably the worst game of the season. He was on the ice for three of the goals that the Penguins scored. He didn't have the best game, and even he admitted that in the postgame, in which that he said, quote, "I felt decent, few sloppy plays defensively. It's a 60-minute hockey game. Fell behind a little bit there early, but it's 60 minutes of hockey, so you try to stick with it, and tonight was one of those nights it went our way," unquote. He admitted that, yeah, he definitely had some really sloppy battles defensively, and it cost him, or nearly cost the Bruins a win. So we know that Lindholm, in terms of how good he is, in terms of his ability to show what he can do on both sides of the puck. But I'm not worried about Lindholm's game falling off. I'm just more interested in see how does he rebound in the next game. And I think that he's going to be just fine in that regard. We're going to step aside as we hit a break, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Bruins game last night and talk about the health of the Bruins and why there is reason to be concerned. That and much more coming up next here on the Sugar Right Show. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford Touch Freeform Radio.
Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Of loving everywhere, so give me the night.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Form Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the show, as we are almost done with hour number one of the program. And we've talked a lot about the Bruins during the first hour of the show, in which we talked about the comeback win and just my overall thoughts and feelings about it. And last segment, I talked about Hampus Lidholm, and as well as just his importance to the team, and just the start that he's been off to, it's pretty historic. When you are compared, or in this case, next to a legendary name in Ray Bourque, we talk about one of the top three or four greatest defensemen to ever play in the NHL, obviously second best defenseman in the history of the Bruins behind Bobby Orr. You're doing something right. You're doing something special. There's no question. So what you're seeing from Hampus Lindholm this season offensively is pretty remarkable. But as we were talking about it during the second segment, I was talking about just the overall concern that I have in terms of the health of the Boston Bruins. Because, let's be honest, the Bruins, as well as they've been playing, they are banged up right now. Last night, they lose Derek Forbort. He doesn't return to the game. You lose Jeremy Swayman. He didn't return to the game. You're still without David Krejci. You're not entirely sure when he's going to come back. Charlie McAvoy is still out. It's a question of when does he return. So you look up and down this Bruins team in terms of the injuries of the guys that are out right now, and McAvoy, we all know that he's on the mend and he's actually getting closer to returning, but you just can't help but to wonder about the health of this team and whether if that could be a reason why this hot start for the Boston Bruins could be derailed. And if you have any thoughts on the health of the team and where this team currently is right now, you can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Because last night when I saw the injury to Jeremy Swayman, I was like, damn, talk about poor timing in which that this is a guy who was beginning to figure it out in terms of his performance in between the pipes after getting off to a bit of a slow start to begin the season. And even though he came in relief, quote-unquote, of the starting goaltender Linus Ullmark, he was actually playing a pretty good game up until he got injured. So, with that being said, I can't help but to think about this and to talk about this with you, the listener, that's out there. And you wonder, is the injuries going to be a reason why this team hits a bit of a bump in the road? Because you know, it's coming. It's not a matter of if, it's when. That's just the natural course of an 82-game regular season in the NHL. There's no way in hell you can realistically expect this team to have a regular season where they're going to face very little to no adversity, similar to what the 2018-19 Tampa Bay Lightning did, in which they won 62 games, 128 points, win the President's Trophy, practically went through no adversity during the regular season, and then the first taste of adversity come the Stanley Cup playoffs, they get absolutely shocked by the Columbus Blue Jackets, and we all remember how that went. But as far as the Boston Bruins is concerned, you wonder what happens here. What happens now? Because there's a part of me that thinks that with guys like Krejci, with guys like, for example, I mentioned Krejci. We talk about Derek Forbort, who was having a pretty good start to the season. And I think it's fair to expect that he is going to be day-to-day, or he might miss the next couple of games, given the nature of an injury. It was an upper body injury in which that he had to be taken out of the game last night. This is what you are basically left with. This is a team that's rolling. It's a team that's full of confidence right now. You know what this team can do. And unfortunately, injuries are part of the sport. That's just the reality of it. So let me pose to you this question, Bruin fans. Out of all the injured guys that I mentioned, and maybe there's one or two that I may have forgotten, but I mentioned David Krejci, Derek Forbort, Charlie McAvoy, Jeremy Swayman. Which guy are you most excited to have back? That's the question I want to pose to you. You can call into the program at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. For me, I got to go with Charlie McAvoy. McAvoy and then, and I kind of touched on it a little bit during the last segment, in which that I talked about just how good that top pairing is going to be once Hampus Lindholm and Charlie McAvoy are both healthy on the ice on that top pairing, defenseman pairing, how good this is going to be. It's going to be terrifying for the rest of the league. I mean, let's be honest. You got two defensemen who are both offensive-minded, but one in which is really developed beautifully into one of the better shutdown defensemen in the league, in Charlie McAvoy. Now, I would say that Lindholm is not as good in terms of the defensive aspect to his game, but make no mistake, he's no slouch in terms of defending in his own end at all whatsoever. He's not. But I am excited to see when McAvoy returns. When McAvoy returns, what is it going to look like? How would it impact the rest of the blue line for the Boston Bruins? I am just so excited to think about the potential possibilities that may come along with it. If you and I were to play the game right now and play the game of which Bruin do you think will return first? In terms of the injuries, in terms of the guys that are out right now, I'm willing to make a guesstimate and say that it's probably going to be McAvoy. Because let's be honest, how many of you thought that Brad Marchand was going to return sometime in late October when all we've heard from the offseason through training camp and as well as even to start the season that Marchand was not going to return until sometime in December? How many of you heard that? I did. I personally was saying it on the radio airwaves that he wasn't going to be back until sometime December. That was going to be more realistic. Makes no sense to rush him back. Why on earth were we going to expect that he was going to come back sooner before December? There was no reason to believe that. So now, I am of the belief that if McAvoy could follow a similar path that Marchand was able to follow in terms of his recovery timeline, the Bruins will be better off for it. Now, I know there are some of you that may be thinking, so you're saying you want the Bruins to rush him back? No. No. We know that teams in sports, most specifically in the NHL, they like to keep it close to the chest when players are expected to come back. When they come back sooner rather than later, this is basically equivalent to them coming back on an earlier timeline than later after when the initial doctor's report said that they were going to come back. You don't want to be the Boston Celtics and wish that they'll tell you that Robert Williams is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks when in reality he's going to be out 8 to 12 weeks. You don't want to have that kind of situation on your hands. Because now your medical staff looks bad. It looks like it can't be trusted. It looks like that it cannot be taken at its word. And that's the worst thing that you can have as an individual in these streets. To be that person and wish that, oh, by the way, your words can't be taken seriously. Why? Because you already lied to us once. Fool us, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You don't want to be that. So it's better to say, hey, you know what? So-and-so is going to be out until January. And oh, by the way, he's coming back sometime around mid-November, right before Thanksgiving. I would rather be wrong in that regard than to be told that, well, he's coming back in January, but in reality, he's not going to be back till late February, right before March. You don't want that kind of problem on your hands. So, with all those things being said, I want to shift gears a little bit. And the thing that I'm thinking about now is something that I saw on social media last night, something that I saw on Twitter that really caught my attention. And even as I think about it, it actually makes me laugh. I want to play on the air for you, but I'm not going to because FCC violation, it was that bad, but it was that funny. So, last night, prior to the start of Game 3 of the World Series, more on that a little later on in the show, there were fans in Philadelphia doing what fans in Philadelphia do best. heckle the opposing pitcher. I'm sure Red Sox fans all remember when, prior to last year's AL wildcard game between the Yankees and Red Sox, that one Red Sox fans who basically pulled out Kermit the Frog taunting Gerrit Cole, it essentially rattled him. We all remember that. But in Philadelphia, multiply that by 1,000. Imagine being told that Rhys Hoskins slept with your girlfriend. For those of you that haven't seen the video yet, I encourage you, go watch it on Twitter, go pull up on YouTube, or maybe it's on Facebook somewhere. I don't know. But it's on social media. I can definitely tell you that for sure. But it was hilarious. And the point of me bringing this up is hecklers are absolutely part of the most important but yet underrated aspects of the fan experience when going to sporting events, especially in a city like Philadelphia. I mean, let's be honest. How many of you have been to a Yankees-Red Sox game at Fenway? I have. I've been to countless, many. And I'm sure Yankee fans and Red Sox fans could all attest. The heckling that goes on during those games at Fenway is a sight to behold. I have been on both ends, giving and receiving. And depending on the mood, is either funny or you feel like you'd want to get up and punch someone in the face. It's either one or the other. There's no in between. But I tell you this much, though. Philadelphia has really shown me that it is one hell of a sports city. And this is nothing new, and it's crazy that during this World Series so far, it's been almost like a reignition of just how passionate the city of Philadelphia is. In fact, I was telling my best friend Alana this before the start of the World Series. There's only one city in America that I would dare compare to Boston in terms of the sports, in terms of the passion, and that is Philadelphia. Boston and Philadelphia are so alike in terms of his passion, it's not even funny. The only difference between Boston and Philadelphia is what? The championships that the city of Boston has seen in the 21st century. That's it. The city of Boston has seen 12 championship parades and a number of other championship final appearances, whether it was the Celtics NBA Finals appearance this past June or the Bruins Stanley Cup Finals appearance just 3 years ago. So, in comparison with Philadelphia, you've seen the Phillies win the World Series in 08, get back to the World Series in 09. You see the Eagles win the Super Bowl in 2017, well, February 2018, but you get what I'm saying? And you've also seen the Flyers get to the Stanley Cup Finals in 2010. They're both incredibly passionate cities, and during this World Series, it has been truly a sight to behold in terms of the passion and the energy surrounding that Phillies team. And I got a lot more to get into during the 4 o'clock hour that's coming up just shortly regarding the World Series and why there is something that is now confirming to me who I think will win the World Series. So more on that coming up on the other side of this break. You're listening to the 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Hour number one of the show is in the books. Hour number two is coming up next. So don't turn that dial. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
By the way.